The GA Hour is sponsored by Paddy Power, home of the GA Hour Football Acca.
I'm not finished yet, it took me a long time to get here.
Both players have spoken with each other and they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other and they're both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
That these fellas will get such a shell shock next Saturday evening that we'll put them back in their asses for 10 years.
All right, we're going to start with the Donegal County Final because Brendan Devaney is on the line. Conan is here in studio. And look, I'm not going to hold my hands up and say I was wrong about Glenties. I stand over my opinion on Glenties. I respect them for what they do. They've won the County Final. I wouldn't have given them a chance against Gweedore. They don't play an attractive brand of football, but they get the job done, Devaney. And I suppose, is that how you would sum up Glenties?
Yeah, I guess, well, you know, remarkable story. You know, coming into the game, losing back-to-back finals, massive pressure on them. Then with Gweedore coming in as Ulster champions, first Donegal team to do that since 1975, almost unheard of. They've beaten Kilkerry, who actually fancied that they were favourites going into the semi-final game. So everything was set up for Gweedore to go back in and defend their crown. But Neil Conlon had other ideas, and I've been in a dressing room where we lost back-to-back finals and been in the third final, and I remember the absolute pressure coming on. But as you're saying, Gweedore sprinkled a wee bit of stardust. You know, they play a similar game in many ways to Neil Conlon. They don't go that rigidly defensive. They leave two up like loads of teams are doing now, really. But when they break with pace. And you just thought over the course of the game that Gweedore, what they've been very good at has been getting goals. And if you look across the three games, somehow, unbelievably, Gweedore didn't get a goal in any of the three games. And that was probably the platform for it. But you'd have to say, sticking to what they do, and listen, like me and you on the same boat here, just looking at the tactics of that game, it's such a robotic kind of system of everybody just playing the same way. The ball never gets kicked. It's all about recycling, trying to get into a zone where you get it free, or someone comes on the back of a ball. It's never kicked inside. There's no old kind of platform inside. But listen, that's what they do, and that's what they stuck to. And particularly for them now, they just had to get across the line. And since they first won their first title back in 2005, I would say this is right up there with the importance of it, because these players, after what they've put in the last 3 years, you know, and of course the three-game saga, and of course right to the end of the match, 1 point, well, in it, how these teams play, they've kind of quite happy to win by a point, and this is what happens. When teams that get in, even if they do get in the lead, they don't go for the other team, they automatically sit back. So there's never anything too much in it. I went out to 3 points a couple of times, and they're not. But Gweedore or any corner would sit back and allow the other team to come back into it. But you'd have to say, in terms of coming up with adversity and putting everything into it in the last few years, you can't take it away from them, you know, and hats off them. I'm sure they had a great night last night, and they've only got a couple of days now before an Ulster club game.
Yeah, I'd say that's written off. Yeah, I'd say they had a great night last night. There was a few of them tweeted me and made sure I was reminded about calling them a terrible team. I didn't remember calling them a terrible team. I thought I said limited. Now, I could have said terrible. I haven't listened back to the audio. Congratulations, though, Glenties. Fair play to you. Are we all agreed the winning point was a winning point? I saw the footage of it, Conan. I'll go to you first on this one. If you freeze it on the post, it looks a bit blurred, like it went behind, but when you watch it in real time, it does pass the post on the inside, and I suppose where it bounces and all, it was a point.
Yeah, like the footage isn't good enough to pause it and then see it's just too blurry. But if you look at the keeper, like he's actually standing with his back to the post looking up, so he's looking at the ball going over the bar, and then he just turns, runs and grabs another ball because suddenly they're a point down with 2 minutes to go.
Yeah.
So I think that says it all, really.
Isn't it mad, though, the angle of the camera, that it was still even a debate about it. It was the perfect angle, but the way that point, it didn't tail off. It just snuck in on the inside. Like there's actually a debate around whether it was a point or not.
I mean, the umpire has to be looked at there. I mean, it was only about 8 foot over the bar. It wasn't like it was way over the post or anything. Yeah. Like, you know, so it went right inside the post. Well, it looked like it went inside the post anyway. So he needs to be on it a bit more there.
What about the sendings off, Brendan? We obviously didn't see this. Eamon McGee got into a row. Was it going in off the field at half-time?
Yeah. He clipped on weird. Listen, it was striking. And both sendings off, well, there was no complaints from the players, so it tells you a lot about it. And you know what was happening in the game as well, would he? Not to be negative. There was a lot of sledging going on. Both teams were really going at it terribly. And I felt, you know, we all know Willie's playing from years gone back there. You'd always get an odd touch if you kicked away or whatever. But it's got this thing that's creeped into the game now, but it's consistent. Like, I've seen players being at players' ears nearly for the full match. you know, I really think it's a bit of a disaster in the game. If you can't go out and try and take the guy on in the skills of the game, sure enough, have a word dog time and you can give him a touch. I don't mind that side of the game, but this consistent thing, it must just drive people into it. And I know going off the pitch, the two boys were having words. And obviously, Eamon, who's maybe done that by the times himself in his time, just must have snapped and threw a dig at him, and it was enough to get the red card.
Yeah, it's unusual to Eamon McGee because he kind of strikes me at this stage of his career, Conan, that he doesn't rise to that. He's seen it all. He's been there. He's done the sledging. Do you know what I mean? That because I think he got hit in the first game that was on TG Cahir, and he made no big deal about it. Do you know what I mean? He got a bit of trash talking, and he's just like Brooke Way. You know, I've been there. I don't need to get involved in that stuff anymore.
I remember after the Kilcar game, calling him like very clean, which I thought, geez, that's a weird adjective that I'm using for like this hardy fullback down through the years. But his new position over the last few years has just been him sort of in this nice role where everything he's doing is just controlled, and it looks like he always has his head on. And it'd have to be something really bad for him to react like that at half time as well, you know, not in the middle of the game, not after hitting a wide, coming off and trying to get a breather.
Yeah, because there was a thing about his missus being on the pitch, and there was an, you know, kind of, I don't, was there something going on with that the last game? And he just kind of separated it, was no big deal, you know, that kind of thing. So, which is a real weird one. David, the game was delayed, the throw-in was delayed by 10 minutes. Due to crowd congestion. And I'm not going to lie here, I know this game, like this whole saga, has taken a life on its own, and I'm sure there's huge interest in Donegal, but I was surprised that that many people wanted to watch a match that they knew was just going to be an 8-7 kind of arm wrestle.
You see, it's strange, only I say, with all of us coming in late, and we were talking about this after the first game up here in Donegal, you know, the actual, you know, interest around it was almost about the whole occasion and the history, and the pressure was on, particularly Niamh Connell. And both teams are very well supported, and the interest was growing. And even though the scoreline came down to a very sad 8-7 last night, it didn't even matter. It didn't even matter if it was 4-3. It was just who was going to get across the line after the two replays and the extra time and that. And so there was a real interest there. Well, and I guess we probably have to take back what, particularly maybe people like us, kind of want to see in the game. You know, you're not going to see that side of it, those lovely kick passing or like attack plays where people actually set up a proper forward line. That's not the way it is anymore. So you kind of step back and say, right, what's the intrigue in it, the matchups, you know, the intensity, the tackling in it, and every ball then mattering. And that's what it came down to in the end. But the interest was ramping up and up. And as you say, even for a Wednesday night, I was surprised. And I was glad in a way, Willie, because Trasser was at the house. He entered a row with a smart TV trying to get the payment made. She was giving up, so she had a bit of extra time to get it logged on or whatever. But listen, you know, I seen the Gnawer boys there tweeting last night and putting up images. They went back, and probably the pressure's off them in many ways. They looked like they were having a great time as well, because certainly with Sunday on the horizon, very difficult for Niamh Connell to drop down to properly enjoy it and get back up for that. I would say their attitude last night was, really, we may as well enjoy it, because what comes Sunday we'll do with it and go and celebrate and enjoy the victory.
Yeah, the Gweedore boys enjoy themselves no matter what anyways. We know that. They'll be in Chuck Mickey's today, I'm sure. And, like, I mean, I'd say Niamh Connell, Glenties will just write off that match Saturday. Affect that. Like, I mean, if you can't enjoy a county title, and I don't think their aspirations necessarily after the last few years are Ulster titles. They wanted to win Donegal, and they should just celebrate that and go to the match, try to win it, but don't look back after losing Saturday going, oh, geez, we should have had a couple of good nights. Maybe that. It was interesting to me that the final score last night was 8-7. 15 scores kicked in the entire game by 15 players plus subs that came on. In 1999, you kicked 14 on your own for St. Eunan's. And the reason I remember that stat is because you've told me 1,000 times.
Come on. It's in the good old days, eh, Willie? I tell you, I don't blanket the fence in. Hey, it's great to look back and reminisce. I think the way things are playing currently, Willie, that record might stand for a wee while, but you know, we live and hope that it might change as well. But listen, some days you get lucky there, kid. There's no Colin Parkinson sweeping in front of me, you know.
But the thing about, I suppose, Glenties are the one, like, they've overachieved for the size of them, and we know that Jim Ginn has turned them around the same way as he turned Donegal around, but the legacy of that is that defensive play. And, like, are Glenties playing that style of football at all levels? And I suppose the question is, if Donegal club football eventually changes and evolves a bit like the intercounty game is evolving, will Glenty's players be a little bit left behind with the skills of the game if the football they know is almost 90% through the hands and recycling and a hand passing game?
Yeah, Athletic Money, the bigger thing is just not Neve Connolly. Any team that's playing this type of tactic, I think over time, if you get to a county final, I know if you're a team that hasn't won it before, like they were in 2005, and you come up with a new tactic and you win it, I think then over time you've got to start to evolve a wee bit, to change. The fact that you are champions, to play with that wee bit of more swagger, and they open up. And I think the effect now in Donegal is coming through the county team, with teams playing blanket defence. Because when you think about it, basically every team leaves, a lot of teams are leaving one or two up, or maybe none up at times, and pulling everybody back. And what that happens is, if you take your centre-half back, your full-back, there's so much cover in there, he doesn't have to win a ball and come bursting out of it and have a 6-yard pass to a forward line. There might be nobody in the forward line. So I think when you get to county level, you have to do things again. You have to be the player that steps up and has all those skills in his locker. And while you're playing in that protective zone of having 10 or 12 players around you all the time and that easy hand pass off, the responsibility of you to go and play as a player and to evolve and get better, it's non-existent. So what happens is you have a lot of the same players playing and you just can't see. And I'm looking at the two teams last night, and I know Ghidorah, this is a sprinkling of this team that won Ulster under 21 at an absolute canter. They've come in, they've got all the skills. But again, Willie, if they keep playing their blanket defence, and if they keep dropping their better players back and playing as a semi-half back more than a half forward, then those players won't evolve as well. And I think if you look at Donegal now, Declan Butters looking around the club championship, I haven't seen many players and thinking to myself, yeah, he's worth a go, you know. And that's because of the tactics that's been played, and it's affecting teams in. To say for the likes of Neve Connolly, they'll not care, they needed that title. But I certainly think, I can't understand teams not looking to evolve, because it's just for your players who are like your old style number 11s, or even your players inside, if the ball's not coming in, or if they're not being told to kick it, then they don't become the player that they should become.
Yeah, no, exactly. Mm-hmm. But anyway, congratulations to Glenties or Neve Connolly. Are they called Glenties or Neve Connolly? I always just called them Glenties.
Neve Connolly Glenties.
Funtown's part of the parish. So Neve Connolly's the right way. There's a few Funtown players there, so when you say Glenties, you're alienating them.
Ruling us out. Okay, we'll move off the Dublin final, or the Donegal final, and want to talk about the Player of the Year. I don't want to talk about the All-Stars. We're going to talk about the Hurling All-Stars in part two with Shane McGrath, and maybe a little bit on the Tipperary County final. But the Player of the Year I wanted to touch on, lads, because it's between Conn O'Callaghan, Jack McCaffrey and Stephen Cluxton. And I think Cluxton is probably a banker for this one, Conan, because it's the Ryan Giggs effect. It's the longevity. It's the sentimentality. It's the fact he's been overlooked. I'm not saying he didn't have a good year. He had an excellent year. Mm. And we know he's a leader. I think the fact that, I won't say he was screwed over both years, but he was screwed over not to get one of the 2 years, you know, and I think that might play into the players voting for it. I think Conn probably deserves it, but I think Cluxton would probably get it.
Yeah, I think Conn should get it as well, as much as, like, yeah, I'd be happy to see Cluxton get it. And part of it would be the fact that he hasn't gotten an All-Star since 2013, you know. It's like,
well, it's funny the way we call him Conn, like we know him, isn't
Conn,
it?
Big Conn.
Conn.
Big C. But, like, if you look back through his year, you know the way we're always talking about, even the way you're talking about Brendan Devaney kicking 14 points, and Conn O'Callaghan's like this player who we thought we'd never see again. Like, everything he's doing is just made for a highlights reel that we'll look back on in 20 years' time and be like, Jesus, he's taking boys on all the time. Even when he's not scoring, he's like high fielding and popping it off. Like, it's the skill levels of dummies.
To the point that, I don't know if you listened to Bernard Brogan in here yesterday, that Bernard Brogan said to me that in training he thought to himself, I'm going to start doing what Conn does. This is Bernard Brogan.
Yeah. And like, ever since Conn ate Bernard Brogan, like, you know, he's been a whole different animal as well. Like, you know, he's got the conditioning. He's just like, he's doing so many audacious things too, because we always consider Dublin to be, like, you know, very risk-free. And like, they shoot from the shooting zones.
But, well, he still does that now.
He does, but he's pinging, like, you know, goals in from 20 yards just because it's so easy for him. Like, he's just drilling in the top corner, rolling into the bottom corner. And he's just a perfect footballer. And I think he does deserve it, but I wouldn't be upset if Cluxton got it, to be honest.
Yeah, look, I wouldn't really mind between the three of them who got it. We love Jack McCaffrey. Like, I would always make an argument for him, but I think it is between Cluxton and Conn. A bit like when Donegal won the All-Ireland in 2012. Lacey won it, even though maybe Colin McFadden was the best player that year, I think, if you go through every game.
Yeah, totally agree. Obviously, Lacey, just in the years previous, he was Donegal's, you know, Roman Murphy,
legend.
Right up there. I think the weight of the previous years just pushed Lacey across the line, because you'd have to say, as the one best player for Donegal that year, you'd have to say McFadden was the difference. He was the best player in the country that year, but that's the weight of it. Listen, I would definitely go with Cluxton too, and I think the ingredients there of this absolute dominance Dublin have shown have a couple of ingredients. Obviously, Jim Gavin and Cuxton are right at the heart of it. I mean, you talk about Jack McCabe taking a year off, head away, Dublin won. You know, Conor Killen very quiet in the first game in All Ireland. You know, he's got the Dublin set up so much play for him, like, and they're so good at what they do, and then he can be the fine point at the end of it. But I think consistency and the weight of what's happening, who is the main man that has to be there and do your thing every day, day in, day out, is Cluxton, and I think 100% I would give it to Cluxton.
Yeah, I think he's going to win this. So the Dublin County final is on this weekend. Thomas Davis are completely unknown surprise, which is a great story, Conan. They're playing Ballyboden. Now, Ballyboden are strong favourites, but Thomas Davis won 3 in a row, 89-90-91. They haven't been back anywhere near it since. I think they won 2 Leinsters in that time as well. So, like, I mean, it was crazy stuff. Paul Curran is one of their ex-players, but Conor McKeown was tweeting after they beat Kilmacud Crokes in the semi-final, and he said they were in huge debt until they sold land for $4 million in 2017. The same year, they were on the verge of taking the Dublin County Board to the DRA over the plans to split the Dublin Championship into 2 tiers. We all remember that happening because I remember laughing at them at the time. Cop on,
yeah.
Concentrate on getting back there. That's what they did. They went down, they lost their appeal. They sound like a few inter-county teams at the moment, whinging about a B Championship. They ended up going back to the B Championship, winning it. That momentum, and you often see it with intermediate teams in your county, that they win the intermediate and they play above themselves the following year at senior because that confidence gets them through. Then the year after, they could go back down. Do you know what I mean? Mm. It gives them that kind of boost. But then he was also saying, Conor was saying that a couple of years ago, their best player, Paul Hudson, who will remember being on the Dublin panel, he went to America. Now they're in their first final since 1991. This is the interesting thing, especially about a Dublin team. They have no outside manager and no players brought in either. The full panel is homegrown. That's unbelievable. That really is. When you look at St. Jude's and you look at all the players they brought in, I'm not criticising it. Mm. Like, I mean, whether they're genuine transfers, you look at Parnell's when I was there, what they did. You look at a lot of clubs. There's very few clubs in Dublin without transfers. The 95% of them are genuine that move into the area and you wouldn't argue with them. They don't have any. This is unheard of, Conan, for Thomas Davis to do what they're after doing.
It really is. And like, and it's not a criticism, it's actually a compliment of them. I'd say clubs up and down the country were probably like on their WhatsApp groups that night when they beat Kilmacud saying, lads, if we get our act together, this is what we can do. Because I look at Thomas Davis, I've played them over the last 2 years and they're a good outfit. But, you know, we've played Kilmacud Crokes and we've played Ballyboden and Vincent's and they're like a cut above. Like, well, I've experienced that, yeah, anyway. And Thomas Davis are just this hard-working, like, animal team. But, like, you know, nothing, you wouldn't have thought anything special. But like what they're doing, and you look at a lot of the scores they're getting, it's just running. It's just pure running past people. And then when they want to put a high ball in, and then they just work so hard. But
they
every
put their
one
bodies
them,
on the line,
yeah,
don't they?
Yeah, and their bodies are all conditioned to the extreme. Like, you know, every one of them are beasts. Like, you know, you look at the two midfielders, are just powerhouses. So it probably is a great sort of model for people to look at and think, we're not that far behind if we just put in the work.
Yeah, put in the work and stop crying about it and to get up to the level that you deserve. What do you think of this tier two, Brendan? We've talked a lot about it in the last couple of weeks. Some counties crying and complaining about it, a bit like Thomas Davis did. And, you know, the answer on this show is here, just get out of the tier two and you'll be playing for Sam the following year.
Yeah, I'm almost afraid because Tyrell O'Brien's going to pop up now and shout at me. He seems to be the man for the sound right there on the anti-tier two. But yeah, well, listen, I don't understand what the problem is here. I mean, nothing is ever going to be perfect. We know that. We know there's huge imbalances in the GA, but something has to give, and they're still playing in the provincials. Here's the thing, you're in the provincials, so if you really think that you shouldn't be in tier two, then go ahead and have a run for your provincials. What's to stop you?
Yeah.
This is saying when you get beat, listen, there's another competition for you. And quite often when I look at the back door there, I love when it's 3 and 4 teams or 3 and 2, for example, someone in there that I think that's a matchup. I'm interested in the game because I know it's not going to be an obliteration. And there's a romance really from going down to the GAA. You know, if you like it, I know Leash are up to 2 this year, but you're involved in Leash recent memory. Westmeath, you know, won in Leinster's. You know, Fermanagh, Derry and Down have all been in Ulster finals in recent times. You take Sligo and Connacht. Like, teams have done it. They've got up there. But what happened is now, as each year goes on, the more the imbalance happens, the more teams are getting hammered out the door, not playing at their level. And exactly that, you know, that's and people keep throwing out the hurling statistic. Hurling's nothing to do with football. And if it was, if you take the likes of Fermanagh and Ulster a couple of years ago, they made it to an Ulster final, that wouldn't happen in the Leinster, Munster, Hurling, a team like that. You can't do that. So football teams can jump up and have more ability to reach up the levels than Hurling teams are. Hurling tends to be very much about the top teams are on another level. Football teams can mix it if they put together properly, if they get on a run. So it's all about this thing about getting behind it. Everybody's weary about it. And I know John Horne, the president, said that he got a message from Declan Bennett of RTE saying he was confident there would be coverage. To be honest, that didn't fill me with confidence. But I think, you know, if you even look at Roy, if we push the tier two, you know, even the semi-finalists, there should be a pool there of a holiday. There should be incentives and all that. And people say, why do you need to incentivize? Listen, it's all part of the same thing, really, that you can come back to your girl or whatever and say, listen, we're going on a holiday, your wife. Or there's something there in the background that's kind of the GA saying there's a massive money here in the background, the GA. Let's try and spread it out a wee bit and at least, you know, have carrots there for people, because there's so much being put into it. And when the final has been played is a huge aspect of that as well. And if I was a team that was in three or four, really, I would love a competition like this that I could actually go and win.
Me too.
You know, it's a chance for you to go and win and play in a big match and have something at the end of it. I can't understand why all the negativity is around it. Something has to be tried, and at least this is a starting point.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned the girlfriends and wives and stuff, and Bernard Brogan heard recently saying that Jim Gavin tells the Dublin squad, don't be talking about sacrifices. We're doing what we love. It's your family that makes the sacrifices for you. And he's exactly right, because you hear a lot of players, and I often whinge about it, is the sacrifices they put in. You're doing that for something you love. You know, it's all people around you that are making the sacrifices by not being able to do anything.
Yeah, don't want to throw a grenade in, but I'm not really in alignment with the two of you. But like, I don't think that the Thomas Davis example is that relevant for County, because I think clubs need tiers more, because you have players who can't run straight, never mind kick straight at club level, playing with people who are international level athletes, you know, so you need tiers, and you have clubs who can't even field 15. Do you know, whereas County should be round up all your best players, we'll train them.
And I've played intermediate level in Laois now, and the clubs in that would go on weekend holidays. They would take it incredibly seriously.
Oh, yeah, but then people who don't want it, they play junior then. They don't want to do that. And then in Dublin, you can play junior E if you want to just kick around with your friends.
We've only, that's four tiers, as many tiers as you want that club. But we're only talking about two at Intercounty, not like, you know, the eight to allow for what you're talking about at club level. Do you know what I mean? It's not like at intercounty level you're looking for four, five, six different tiers. You only want two. You only want to separate it half and half. I take your point with all the tiers for the really useless players. But that could be number eight tier down at club level. Do you know, I don't think, I would look more like senior and intermediate as a comparison. Do you know what I mean? Rather than going down to junior level where lads can't kick the ball straight.
My biggest concern is just like, if I was imagine I was playing for a junior club in Limerick, but I was class. But now it's like, well, you have to play the B Championship in football, and it's like you don't get to show off. Like, because Limerick probably won't go on and win the B Championship, say, but now they don't get to play against the best, and you don't get to show that you are the top footballer in the country.
Yeah, but do they get to show it anyways? Like, they could be beaten fucking...
Well, like, the like of, say, Brendan Murphy playing against Dublin, and then everyone, like, you know, you get to Sunday game package in, and everyone says, yeah, he is class, because look, he's doing it against Brian Fenton. Or the like of Quigley, you know, having that back and forth with Cluxton.
But do you think it's out of the question for Carlow to get into Division 2 or to get to a Leinster final?
Not Carlow. I think there's some teams like TR, but I think the hurling argument that people are making, I don't know exactly how I feel about it, but it's like, you know, because Brendan's saying there that it's harder for those teams. Like, you couldn't get a Fermanagh, say, in Hurling going and just suddenly getting to a Leinster final. But that's probably the worry for people. It's like, well, the apathy is so much now in those counties that people don't care that much about playing Hurling for Fermanagh.
Yeah.
And will that happen in the football?
I don't think we should be developing a structure and a system to suit a good player on a weaker county. You know what I mean? I don't think we should have to watch hammerings every year just so that a good player in Division 4 gets a chance to, you know, that's not, that's like developing a system just to suit three or four weak teams. It isn't right.
Yeah, like, I don't want to watch hammerings every year either. You keep coming back to restructuring and stuff, but I think you could restructure in a sense that all the worst teams are out in the first round, and then they can go play a club or whatever they want to do then, or they can go into the B competition or something.
Yeah, well, let's not get into
options. No, I know, but
let's not get into options.
It seems very drastic.
Yeah, well, anyways, listen, we know it's imperfect, but it's more the the principle of a tier two that I'm completely not against. You seem to be a little bit against. There are some more changes to the structures, lads, because we know that the All-Ireland Club Final is going to be on in January next year. So they're getting closer to the calendar year, which I'm all for. The Sigerson Cup and Fitzgibbon Cup, the third level competitions, are going to be finished in January 29th. We'll be glad with this because Kieran Malloy, we won't have to start whinging about him. So there's no crossover with the Sigerson and the Fitzgibbon. Fitzgibbon is actually the first week in February, but the hurling league starts the first weekend. So there shouldn't be much less crossover between the Sigerson and Fitzgibbon finals and the league, which, let's be honest, is just completely ridiculous. And at least that's gone. They're making changes slowly but surely. We know this is all a load of nonsense because there's a task force set up to completely radically change the year. And that's coming in next year. But look, I just like to give it, rather than whinge and complain all the time, let's give them a little bit of credit for doing this, making that change that we cried about for the last 2 years. And you can't be complaining all the time, is my new one, Conan.
This is going to radically change the GAR as well, because anybody who's listened for the last 4 years will know that we just do the same thing month by month, and it goes to Kieran Malloy, and then it goes April for clubs, and it goes to provincial
I remember saying to you this time last year when we did Kieran Malloy, this is exactly the same as last year. And then we rolled into April for clubs. We can't give out the same as we did.
And now it's like a team here playing 3 days before their Ulster Championship match now at club level.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, just stop us giving out the same bloody, giving us the same material every year. A stat on Paddy Maher here, Brendan, is, wait and you get this. So he is going to get a third All-Star, or third All-Ireland, and he's going to get a sixth All-Star, which is drawing with Nicky English and Owen Kelly. Here's the stat, which is just absolutely incredible. And this is considering Paddy Maher plays hurling, where both broken bones, broken fingers, where, you know, whacks across the leg. You're not just talking about muscle injuries, you're talking about getting hit with a stick, right? And it's not like he's a shrinking violet. He's in the mix. He's getting in there. He's getting stuck in. Since making his championship debut in 2009, Maher has started every one of the 54 championship matches that Tipperary have played. Isn't that phenomenal, Brendan?
Unreal. He's superhuman. Well, you know, as I said, you know, different people have different attributes around them, and you might have a weakness in your body. I know from when I played, well, what stopped me yagging the operation and me hitting the sports surgeon, kind of, which I should never have got, and that I never played after that. But people say, do you know about all the sport you played, and you know, that's what the body takes. But if that was the case, my knees and ankles, there should be problems with them. They're not, they're perfect. Neither is my left hip. This was from hitting freeze all the time, so I just had a bit of a weakness, and I probably pushed the body too far. But everybody seems to have some kind of niggle when you're playing and you finish playing, or have issues with some part of their body even when they're playing. But this Maher man just seems superhuman. I mean, that just is absolutely phenomenal that someone can keep training and playing. And you're right, he's played through having breaks and that. He's never pulled or strained anything to any degree that has stopped him playing. It's absolutely phenomenal. And you just get the nod. Superhuman being out there, no doubt in it, Paddy's one of them.
Yeah, he says, I would say, is 80% luck. And I do think, obviously, recovery, injury prevention is all very important, but you could do all that and still get injured. Like, I remember hamstrings were my weakness. Like, I mean, they were a ruination of my career. I missed a Sigerson final, an under-21 Leinster final, a Leinster senior final, all with hamstring injuries. And I would put on bicycle shorts, warm up, stretch. I would get a rub before the game. I would go in at half time and I would take off the bicycle shorts. I would get another rub on it, deep heat, loosen that out, make sure. And I still do my hammer in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What more can you do? I do think it's luck, because James Morgan for Cross McGlen, he's getting back for the Clontibret game this weekend. And he says it's been a long season. He was out for Armagh this year. He says it's been a long season of injuries for me and I'm ready to put that behind me. I've had many injuries, but I've decided this is my last one. This is my last injury. I'm ready for a bit of luck. Maybe I need to go to mass a bit more. You can't say I've decided this is my last injury. It's just, I don't know. I think you're just prone to them or you're not.
Yeah, especially now with Maher. Is he 30? Like, you think that you would start picking up a few more niggles along the way.
Yeah.
Like, I think people who are lucky throughout their whole career, or they're not injury prone throughout their career, they still get this stuff then when they get to 30 and they have to work harder at it.
Yeah. Zach Tuohy, he's an example of that. Zach Tuohy, he's a freak of nature. He's just an athletic machine, you know, and he's just the makeup of his body. He's just the perfect athlete. And he didn't get injured. And he had this incredible succession of AFL games, which is an incredibly physical game. And he got injured this year. He's into his 30s, and maybe he could, continue on for him now.
Yeah, geez, like, but it is incredible. Like, and as you say, he's playing like centre back, like, and he's hitting these shoulders out, and he's only 26 minutes. Was that the stat going around that he missed?
Yeah, like he's been taken off in three of the games, but in those three games they were winning well. There was, you know, he was being minded, and he was never taken off for bad form or injury or anything.
Didn't need
like
to be minded. It sounds like
it is. Here, I have a quick correction. Here, I said last week on the show that Dr. Crokes are in the Munster final, regardless of what happens. Because there's three area teams in the semi-finals, and as it turns out, if they lose the final, Austin Stacks will be in the Munster club because they won the actual county final back in April. So Kerry kind of crank up the complexity a little notch. They have their club championship before at early start of the year, and whatever. That's the way that works. Last one here, lads, is something we'd no show on Monday, and I'm starting to get tagged in these tweets now because I was giving out about them on the show. So this is a tweet from Nemo Rangers. 2-4 in a county final, but still cleans up the dressing room. Hashtag Luke. So this is Luke Connolly. Now, I have to say I'm a big fan of Luke Connolly. I've had him on the show. He's really sound, kind of natural fella to talk to. I love watching him because he's unpredictable. He can do crazy things on the field. So immediately when he gets the ball, he's the type of player that makes me stand up and go, what's he going to do? A bang on outside of the right? He's a huge boom and kick on the ball. I don't know if this was a piss take or not. I'm hoping this was a piss take. So there was a video of Luke after scoring 3-4 sweeping up the poxy dressing room, Conor. Now I'm getting annoyed even though it's on Thursday and I'm still getting annoyed about this. So this is the Cluxton effect. It's the All Blacks effect that we talked about before. Why is Luke Connolly doing that? Has he no self-awareness to know that this surely has got to a stage where it's only a piss take? One fellow on Twitter replied back to me and says, lads are going to start bringing sweeping brushes in their gear bag just to show that they're humble.
Yeah, they'll be cleaning up at half time as well.
They might actually go out on the terrace and clean up the terraces of all the...
just so people see them. You know, if you do a good deed and you don't tell anybody about it, did you really do the good deed?
Well, that's it. So I don't know. Like, I mean, now, Alan Cronin, who plays for Nemo, also replied back to me and he says he had to clean it up after all he missed in the first half. So, like, who videoed it? Maybe a club representative and put it out on Twitter. Like, this has to be choreographed. Okay, start sweeping, I'll start videoing. You know, it has to be. There's no other way of...
And then drops the brush as soon as the video's over.
What do you think, Brendan, of this new phenomenon? I was saying here last week, I've won 6 county titles, and if someone told me to clean up the dressing room after winning the county title, they would be very quickly told where to go, and I'm going uptown for a pint.
A load of nonsense, Willie. Listen, how humble do we need to be in this country? You know, the players, I think, by and large, you get an odd cocky young guy coming in. You kept that going till you were about 33. But generally, guys are dead humble in the GAA. You know, you're doing something out of a job, they're redding up. It's not something I think is required. And we have this thing in Ireland where we're always trying to be like so humble and the good guy, and I can think of other things to concentrate on rather than cleaning dressing room, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I'm like, it's still like, it's not looking like it's dying down, but let's let the message go out. You're not fooling anybody. Stop doing it.
Yeah,
that's all we can say.
Or just do it, but don't tell us.
Or do it, but don't video it. yeah, and don't bring you could get maybe like the fold up bikes. You could bring a fold up sweeping brush. So make sure you're ready on point. There could actually be a race to be the first one to do it, to be the most humble. What if three lads wanted to be the humble one?
Yeah, the All Stars tomorrow are actually giving out a humility award.
All right, okay, we'll let Brendan go there, and thanks for that, Brendan.
Okay, Shane, no problem. Have a good day.
Good man. We'll be back with Shane McGrath next.
I'd never be allowed to go off and eat a half a shite like and become a slob or whatever. Like, I was always doing a bit.
All I remember is I thought I was going to get clobbered on the way in there. I threw the ball up in there. I don't know. It was pure luck, no, in fairness. Pure luck. It's fucking bullshit, as you've seen yourselves.
All right, so the Hurling All-Stars have been announced this morning, obviously before the awards ceremony. Tipperary, as usual, the All-Ireland champions dominating it. Tip have 7, Kilkenny have 3, Wexford have 2, Limerick have 2, Cork have 1. Shane McGrath is on the line to talk to us about this. No huge controversy around this team, Shane. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I'd agree, will you? I don't think there is. I mean, you know yourself, will you? Every year, you're never going to make everyone happy with the All-Stars, and I suppose we can talk about that maybe in a minute or so. I think the system first election is kind of done. And I think there should be a new system. I think it should be based on maybe a points kind of system. But I suppose we could talk about that in a minute. But just like who's hard done by, there's always going to be a few. I mean, Enda Rowland had a super year. Like, you know, Brian Hogan had a super year as well, as did Owen Murphy.
Yeah.
I suppose Brian Hogan got to the bigger games, will he? Like, so, you know, he was, you know, if you know yourself with the All-Stars, if you're getting the semi-finals or finals,
yeah,
for the bigger occasions, the pressure's highest, you deserve, if you're performing on those occasions, your team's getting there, you deserve to get the nod. Thought Liam Ryan from Wexford might be, might feel hard done by as well.
Matthew Hanlon?
Selection committee. Yeah, Matthew Hanlon as well. Like maybe the committee felt we can't have three Mahers from Tip in the half-back line.
Yeah.
I don't really know, because I personally would probably have Ronan Maher at six. Did Padraig Walsh have a great year? He did. But again, look, this is over and back. I mean, nobody in the All-Star team had a bad year. Every one of them had a great year in their own way. So everybody's going to have their own team. I thought Liam O'McGovern was another guy. I know I don't think he even got nominated, but I thought he put in massive shifts for Wexford throughout the year. I thought Conor McDonald as well, maybe, you know, he was fourth top scorer from play, was, you know, could have got a look in. And also, I thought Graham Mulcahy, if we're talking about consistency, which the All-Stars are supposed to be, I thought Graham Mulcahy was very consistent for Limerick throughout the year. So, but look, again, we'd be here till Christmas talking about what your team should be, what my team should be.
Yeah.
Hard to argue about anyone there, but I'm sure, I feel those guys in particular, Willie, will feel maybe they could have got in, like, you know.
You haven't mentioned Bubbles. Now, Bubbles was on fire in the Munster Championship, didn't play that well in the final. Wasn't great against Laois, no one from Tipperary was that day, and then came good in the final as well, and fairly sure he had a very good second half against Wexford. Like, is that not enough to get an All-Star?
Yeah, I maybe lost out, maybe because didn't have a big performance maybe in the quarter final. But yeah, you know, Bubbles again, I suppose, is someone who might feel he deserved, because Bubbles he did it when it mattered most.
Yeah.
Especially in the final, you know, getting that goal. I don't really know. I couldn't put my finger on it why, you know, I suppose he could feel hard done by. Maybe Jason Ford could feel hard done by, you know. A lot of lads could feel hard done by, but do you who do you leave out then, I suppose? Like, I mean, Bubbles had very, very strong games in the semi final and the final. Maybe wasn't very good for the whole semi-final. Maybe that's why Woolley, the selection committee. But, you know, you're in that room there in the selection committee. Everyone has their own ideas. They're throwing their ideas at it. Maybe one or two of them went for Bubbles, but maybe more of them felt, you know, maybe that Lee Chin deserved it, or that Colin Finlay for, you know, getting the 1-3 against Limerick in the semi-final. Horgan was outstanding with the 3-10 in that one game alone. He nearly had the All-Star nailed down. You're not going to not pick Shamey. Aaron Gillan scored 350 throughout the year.
I don't know. Did Aaron Gillan have? I think Aaron Gillan was better last year, and he was overlooked. And maybe he got. I don't think by Aaron Gillan's standards in the Munster final, he only got a point out of 226. Do you know? Like, and it's not.
Yeah.
This year he was a marked man, and Tipperary were double marking him. In either Tipperary game, he wasn't great. I don't know. He got three from play against Kilkenny, but again was being very tightly marked that day as well.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Aaron Gillan deserved an All-Star more last year than this year.
Yeah.
I felt if we're going by consistency in the Limerick forward line, for me, I thought Graham Mulcahy was brilliant in every match for Limerick. You know, when he was, you know, when he really, really needed there now, especially against Kilkenny in the semi-final, when nothing was happening for him, Graham Mulcahy stood up and popped over 3 points from play. So, like, I thought Graham Mulcahy could have got it more, but, you know, this for me, Woolly, this is where the argument are, is the system dated? In my opinion, it is. In that you have maybe whatever 10 or 12 guys on a selection committee, everybody's going to have a little bit to say, or they're going to have someone who they want on the team, and they're kind of putting it all together. I personally feel it should be done on a point system. Now,
how do you explain that?
Okay, so this is the way I've been thinking about it, right? In the league part of the championship, Munster and Leinster championship, you say the maximum points you could get for a game is 6 points. So if you had an outstanding game, you might get 5 or 6 points. You understand,
right? Yeah.
Okay, for a quarter-final then, if your teams get to a quarter-final, the max you could get for 7 is 7 points maybe, right? So again, you have a great game, you're talking about getting a 6 or 7 out of 7. You get to a semi-final, All-Ireland semi-final, you know, the max score you could get is 9 points. And if you're getting to an All-Ireland final, the max score you can get is 10 points. Now, like, okay, you'll say, oh, what about the Joe McDonoughs? And then, okay, I suppose the Joe McDonough teams, they have their All-Stars. And what I feel is whoever wins the Joe McDonough, they're on the point system as well. And that their points, the winners of the points, but the winners of Joe McDonough, their points could carry over. Like, right. Say, let's say Enda Rowland or the Paddy Purcells or these guys, that, you know, their points carry over, and whatever they get in the quarterfinal is out of seven. And if they have enough points in at the end of the year, you know, they've competed in the Liam McCarthy Championship by winning the Joe McDonagh, so let their points carry over. Now, of course, people are going to say, oh, sure, that's ridiculous, but at least it's some form of a solution rather than another problem, which everybody seems to have all the time. We've loads of problems, very few solutions, but that would be mine to it. I'm sure it has its flaws, but it's something that could reward a guy for being consistent
the year. So you, but like, I mean, who would pick it then? The journalists would pick it, but they would be given, it would be more transparent. So when they release the team, they would release a list of their weighted performances.
I would still have the journalists or your selection committee, right? They're still scoring the guy, you know, the guy is still getting a score out of, you know, potentially six for the league part, seven for a quarterfinal, nine for a semi-final, and 10 for a final. But at least at the end of the year, you can see, okay, who has the most points? Who's been the most consistent in all these games?
Yeah.
Not the person who had one unbelievable game, very quiet semi-final, okay in the final. Yeah, he deserves an All-Star because, you know what, his team got to the final.
Yeah.
That's my opinion on it. Like,
the whole selection committee then would have to wait. They would have to score every player that played that weekend in every round and then come to a solution.
Yeah, there you go. There's a flaw. There's a flaw straight away. But I'm sure if they sat down, they could find a way of scoring a player. Like, you know, I mean...
I'm sure they probably do weight a performance in an All-Ireland final over a performance. You know, I think maybe... Well, no, that's why Bubbles... I think Bubbles, for me, obviously not a hurling pundit, Bubbles, Adrian Mullen can feel hard done by, Matthew O'Hanlon can feel hard done by, but I take your point completely, who do you leave out? And that's, you know, probably the one that... you know, is the most difficult one. Come here, I wanted to run this past you. So Gerard Lachnan was, I think he was writing today in the Star, and he made a good point, and I want to get your thoughts on it. He said, it's very strange that Tipperary would get seven All-Stars considering their 12-point hammering in the Munster final by Limerick. He says, now what makes it even more staggering is that five of the seven defensive positions are from Tipperary, even though that was the weak link in their team. They conceded 226 to Limerick in a provincial final. They scored 320 to Wexford in an Ireland semi-final. So the point he's making, and this is would be my thoughts on Tipperary, is that Tipperary have lethal forwards. Tipperary will destroy you. When you think of Tipperary, you think of John McGrath, you think of Shamie Callan, you think of Bubbles, and you think of getting hit for feckin' 520. You don't necessarily think that they're brilliant defenders, yet they get five of the seven All-Stars and only Shamie Callan up front.
Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it?
I like stuff, you know, they mightn't win a game, but I like... And they are fair stats, I suppose. It does go back to individual performances, maybe, rather than a collective unit, Woolly.
Like, yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It kind of goes to... Pádraic Maher was outstanding when needed the most. Brendan was... Like, Brendan is getting the plaudits maybe that other players down through the years haven't got for, you know, kind of sacrificing some of his game to take out the bigger players. Like what he did to Tony Kelly down in Ennis, what he did to Aaron Gillan even in the Munster final, kind of holding him, you know. So I think Tip just had outstanding individuals in the backs. I mean, the type of game that was played allowed them to be fantastic. I mean, look what Kilkenny did in the All-Ireland final. Like, for me, what Kilkenny did in the All-Ireland final allowed Cathal Barrett to get an All-Star. Because they just lumped ball down on top of him and down on top of Ronan Maher, and they had outstanding games. And when you're picking the All-Stars, it's, you know, who was outstanding most recently? Yeah, it was Ronan Maher, it was Cathal Barrett, and you know, rightly so, but like, it was kind of the individual performance maybe rather than the whole collective unit that maybe that's why they're getting them. Noel was outstanding, very hard done by not to be nominated even for Hurler of the Year. But like he was as much effective in attack as he was in defence. You know, what he chipped in from play and the assists he got as well. Like in the forwards, then Shosham scored 8-18, scored 8-17 of that from play. He was obviously our standout guy. But I mean, they were still putting up big scores. But it's because of the Patrick Horgan scoring 3-10. It's because of the TJ Reeds being unbelievable in every game. Maybe that's why we don't get a Bubbles or a Jason Ford in, Woolly, if that makes sense. Like, I mean,
because
these guys have been so good, you know, and I mean, Wexford were always, they were always going to get a few wins. I think this is Wexford's most since they actually won the All-Ireland in 1996, and it's their first All-Star since 2004. So, you know, they obviously had top individual performances as well. So, like, I take Gerlach Nan's point, but I think just because of the outstandingness of TJ and Pat Horgan, I just think that maybe we might have had a Bubbles or a Jason Ford in the forward line as well for me. Like,
yeah, you're right. He's talking about a collective when these are individual awards. You couldn't argue with Dermot O'Keefe or Lee Chin. Anyways, they're two bankers.
Not at all,
they're bankers. Yeah, yeah. You'd almost argue that Wexford maybe might have deserved one more, maybe even two.
For me, that one more would probably be Liam Ryan. I thought he was outstanding at fullback.
Yeah, for that point alone against Tipperary, I would have given it to him.
Yeah, exactly. He didn't know what was going on. He's saying he'll have to run back to field after things.
Come here, I joked with Shamey Canlan the morning after the All Ireland that surely you have Player of the Year wrapped up this time. Surely he does, right? We're not going to see a big surprise here. I think Noel McGrath not being shortlisted is absolutely going to help Shamey. It's not a matter of opinion. That's a fact, because the vote won't be split on Tipperary. He deserves it this year, let's be honest. It's not a sentimental one like maybe Cluxton in the football might get this year over Conn O'Callaghan. Shamey deserves it because he deserves it.
Yeah, absolutely. And like it's the Player of the Year, and Shamey has been the Player of the Year. I mean, like as you said, he scored 8-18. 8-17 if it came from play. He's been outstanding, like, you know, I mean, and just from talking to lads in around the camp or lads involved, he is a leader, like, in every facet of his game, both on and off the pitch. He's so professional. You can see the condition he was in this year, the way he carried himself when the expectation was highest. Shamey really did deliver this year, like, and like I'd be very good friends with Shamey, and I know for a fact, because I got it as well, and he got it, and we all got it. Like, there was a lot of bad days, but Shamey got it maybe more than other lads, and I'm just so happy for him on an individual basis, because like he deserves this. He works very hard, and he is the Player of the Year. Who's close second? You know, Noel is obviously very close. I thought TJ was outstanding. I mean, go down through the who scored the most in one game throughout the year. Like, Hoggy scored 3-10, he's top, but in second, third and fourth place is TJ. Scored 2-12 against Dublin, 2-11 against Galway, 1-12 against Carrick. Like, you know, TJ was outstanding. I had the pleasure of seeing him and meeting him Sunday there down at the Kilkenny County Final, and he just, while he didn't score for play, he's just a joy to watch. But, you know, I just think the consistency of the three guys that's been nominated as well is brilliant. They're all picking up their fourth All-Star. It's not as if it's a fluke, really. Like, it's not as if these guys have just had one great year. Like, the three guys nominated, they've been brilliant for the last decade. And but Shamey is, without doubt, the hurler of the year. If his name isn't called out, I don't know. I think maybe he should just walk off the stage. I don't know what he should do, but that's not him either. But I mean, look, for me, it has to be. It's a given. It's that it's Shamey this year with Adrian Mullen coming in as young player of the year. Then,
you know, when, like, I mean, you talk a lot of players, especially current players. Oh, look, these awards aren't important. You know, the most important thing is winning the All Ireland. That's probably true to a certain point. But I remember growing up playing football. Winning an All-Star was always a target of mine. Like, I never got close to it, but it still was in my head. It'd be great to win one of them. Like, how important is it? What is it to you to be in that gang? Like, you have two, and I suppose even a year where you would have been left out and thought you would have got it. Like, how disappointed would you have been?
Oh, look, there's no point in saying that, Nelson. And I suppose let's find it hard to say when they're in there. Like, you know the party line. Tomorrow night will be that, look, that's important that the team won and everything. And it is, of course. I mean, in 30 years' time, I could ask you who won the All-Ireland and you'll be able to tell me it was Tipperary. You'll struggle to name the All-Star team, though.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, on an individual basis, for what you put in, like, personally, to all you give up, like, to get an All-Star, that's the biggest individual thing you can get. And to be hurler of the year then is just the icing on top of the cake. Like, I mean, it's a great honour. Like, I mean, I remember, like, even I got nominated in 2006. And I tell you, look, I went up to it was on the City West at the time. And I met Henry Shefflin in the lift. And I swear to God, I was starstruck. And I didn't know what to say. This was my first time meeting Henry in the flesh. And he just said, well, Shane. And I was just delighted that night that Henry Shefflin knew who I was. But then when I was up there and the night was going on, I was like, I actually want to win one of these things now. And then I was lucky enough to get nominated a few times and to win a couple. But I remember in 2009 then, I didn't win one. And I thought I had a good year. And you know, that does hurt you as well, like, when maybe you feel so. I'm sure those guys who didn't get in, like, they are hurting. There's no point in saying anything else. Like, did, you know, regardless did, of the success they had with the team.
Sorry, in 2009, when you thought you had a chance, did you find out that night, or was it the hurling year where you found out the day before?
No, 2009, they were called. They were named during the week, so I knew during the week.
Okay, that's easier.
Yeah, it is. You know what? It is, because you're going up and you know what stories, and you know what, when when you're getting to a final, we got to the final that year, there was a good gang of tip lads up there, and you have a great night anyway. And like, you know, you're kind of over this point, but fine, when you don't know and you're finding out on the night, yeah, look, we're all human, like, at the end of the day. I mean, I'm a primary school teacher. If I call one of the lads up and I tell him, oh, look, you didn't win the tables competition this week, he's devastated by that. Like, you know, so,
I'd say sitting there on the night as it's coming towards the midfield, your heart is racing, is it?
Do you know what, Willie? It's actually funny. If you look where the lads are sitting on the night, and, you know, the football ones will be called out. Now, the picks already, if you're called out, you can nearly judge who's going to get them based on where they're sitting. Because right. they're never going to put a lad right in the middle of the row to get out at seven lads to walk up the stage. It's usually the guy on the outside is getting it. So might be something to keep an eye out for tomorrow night.
Oh, I will. I'll keep an eye out for that, yeah.
You know, the seating arrangement of the All-Stars.
But right, look, so the writing's on the wall.
It is. I think it is, wherever they're sitting. But look, it's tough when you don't get one. When you do get one, it's brilliant. I mean, especially like you might be from a parish of 500 or 600 people, and you're an All-Star. Like, I mean, bring back that All-Star, and you think about it, someone who's 80 or 90 years of age can physically, like, you know, hold that All-Star, or, you know, get to hold a Liam McCarthy. So that's unbelievable as well, Willie, like what it means to those people. Like,
I'm glad you said that, Shane, because it is bloody massive, and it should be said. People should appreciate what winning an All-Star that don't understand. Like, I don't understand. I can only imagine. But it's a huge honour, and anyone that plays honest.
No, it's not. Like, and you said it, Willie. When you're growing up, you're the young lad to look at the All-Star tomorrow night, and on Saturday morning they'll go out and go, Jamie Callan or Patrick Horgan. That's who their heroes are. It, no matter what part of the country they're from, the All-Stars are their heroes for that year, and they'll always be remembered as that. You know, and like what it means to your family and all these people. Like, wherever you go or whatever you do for the rest of your life, then people can say, oh, he's an All-Star, or she's an All-Star, or you are a hero to someone. I mean, like, I take it there's a guy called Mackie McKenna. He won 3 All-Irelands with Tip. And I remember when I won the All-Star, like, in 2008, like, he came up, tears in his eyes, to say, oh my God, so proud of you. You're one of my heroes. And I was going, whoa, this guy has won All-Irelands. Like,
yeah.
And, you know, this is what it means to, I suppose, your people from your club and all that. So I don't buy this thing of, oh, look, it's nice to win one. Do you know what? It's absolutely unbelievable to win one. And it's a great achievement, and it's something you'll take to your grave with you. Until the day you die, you'll be an All-Star. Like, so yeah. I think they're brilliant. I think it's a great recognition of everything you've put in, Willie. Like.
Yeah, I would completely agree with you. Come here, I want to get your thoughts quickly on this Tipperary county final. Not a county final that would blow a neutral mind's imagination. No Turles Sarsfields, no Tumi Vara, no Nina, kind of teams I would know there. Tell us about Borrisalee and Killadangan especially. I know a bit about Borrisalee with Brendan Maher and Paddy Stapleton and Dan McCormick. Killadangan I didn't really hear of before this year.
I'll tell you about Killadangan, right? I mean, talk about having a culture in a club, right? In 2004, Killadangan were intermediate, okay? So they won the All-Ireland that year, the best Richie Powers club, Carrick Shock, in the All-Ireland club final intermediate. Unbelievable game. Since then, right, they have gone on, right? They now have their second team is intermediate now, and they are in the county final on Saturday. And their first team is senior, and they are in the county final on Sunday.
Go ahead.
So that's where this club have come in the last 14, 15 years. And the culture they have down there is unbelievable. The first thing in Killadangan is the GAA. And the way their club has evolved over the years is unbelievable. The people they got in, everybody is just driven towards the GAA. And they're a really close parish. Not a huge place, it's on the outskirts of Nina there. But everybody is just GAA mad down there. And, you know, they've, like, in Tip, I suppose, it's very confusing. The divisions are still a big thing in Tip, Woolley.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you win a North Senior title, it's big. And, you know, Killadangan they've won 5 of those since 2008. I mean, like, they've really dominated the North. You know, they've become the Tumi Vara of North Tip.
Right, and they actually beat Borrisalee in the final this year of that North Tip, right?
Yeah, they did now. And they beat them, you know, fairly substantially as well. So they'll be hot favourites going in. And rightly so, Borrisalee, they beat Drumminch in the quarter final. They beat Killawan the last day. Killawan without Jerome Cahill would have been a massive loss to them. Connor Kenny has been immense for him. He scored 7 points from playing the semi-final. But, you know, Killadangan have a guy called James Quigley, and he'll probably man-mark Connor Kenny. Did a massive job in him in that North final. But Killadangan, like, they've a serious team. I mean, they had the luxury of substituting Billy Seymour the last day, who got man of the match in the under-20 All-Ireland final this year. and they brought on a guy called Sean Hayes, and this guy is going to be some talent. So they have serious players all over the field. Alan Flynn in defence, David Sweeney in defence, Paul Flynn up front, Ty Gallagher, they have Willie Connors. Willie Connors came on and scored 2 points from playing the All-Ireland final for taking the senior final this year. He lurks about midfield. He's an unbelievable link player. They're just very balanced. And you know what they have? They have a serious goalkeeper in Barry Hogan, who was sub-goalkeeper for Tipperary this year in the senior as well. And to have, as you know, Willie, to have a really good goalie at club level, be a footballer hurling, who you know is going to make a big save, but can also ping a puck out or ping a kick out when the pressure is highest, that's a massive advantage. Like, Boris have very strong. Paddy Saint, full-back. Brendan, centre-back. Ray McCormack, Dan McCormack. They've Kieran Maher and JD, as they call him, James Devaney up front. You know, they're very strong. And then Conor Kenny and his brother Niall. But I just feel Kildangan, like, this is the best club team Kildangan have ever had.
Right.
And
so
I just feel they're very strong. And you know what? Don't be surprised if they go on and get to a Munster club final, because they'll be playing the Glen. And, you know, the Glen are a good team. But let's be honest, you know, a lot goes through Hoggy, and they could have three or four guys that could try and tie down Hoggy. And while the celebrations would be unreal, whichever club win it, because Kildangan are going for their first ever, and Boris Lear kind of win it first time since 87, I still fancy that if Kildangan come through the county final, that they could beat the Glen. And, you know, they're in the Munster club final then, and, you know, that's all on the day too. Like.
Yeah, it's an incredible show. Darry Egan, I was told, did a lot of work at underage with the club. He's obviously on the Tipperary backroom team this year. Obviously, it seems to have a bit about him, but he's been given credit for, you know, helping out a lot at underage there.
A phenomenal guy. He's principal of the primary school down there as well. I'm actually principal of the school at home, so the two of us are on the phone every other day to each other, chatting about GAA and principal stuff. But he's unbelievable. Himself, there's another guy, Ian and Kelly, there. They really have driven the club to new levels. Like, they've loads of club people down there, but Dara's unreal. The coaching he does underage, as I said, he's in the school there. You know, they're hurling mad down there. But he's actually in goals for the intermediate on Saturday.
Right.
So, you know, it'll be, you know, and he'll be involved with the seniors on Sunday in some capacity, because the manager, Brian Lawler, would hold Dara in huge appreciation of his kind of tactical knowledge. And that's evident there, Liam Sheedy getting him involved this year. I mean, Dara's very, very tactically astute. Like, he can see a thing from the field. So he'll be playing in goals for the intermediate Saturday, and he'll be involved in some capacity with the seniors on Sunday. So a busy weekend down in the parish Kildangan this weekend. Sorry.
Jeez, yeah, the party could be big time in Kildangan wherever they drink. Come here, thanks very much for that, Shane. I presume you're going for Kildangan by the sounds of you. You fancy
them to win. Yeah, really. Yeah, no, yeah. I think Baron upset. Yeah, Kildangan to be county champion. Yeah.
All right, brilliant stuff, Shane. Right, we'll be back and we'll look through all the rest of the club games at the weekend.
After the match with with Marty Morrissey and the Marty squad, and you know, the big thing for me yesterday with Clare versus Galway was,
hang on, did you ask permission to do the Marty squad there?
I didn't, but I was only a special guest. Last Thursday, you asked me the same question when I started Bubbles, and I said a yes on the Marty squad, because yes, I would have started Bubbles for that game yesterday. That was the first I heard of Johnny King coming back with the Galway squad. You know, I was asked just in the Marty squad.
Here, Damien, are you getting paid for Marty squad plugs on our show here?
That's three.
No, I do that completely voluntarily.
He hits it. It's over the bar.
Move away from the mess in there, lads, right? We have a serious show to do here, right?
All right, so Paddy Power predictions, Conan. So we're starting off on Saturday. This is on BBC Live, 7 o'clock. This is in the Athletic Grounds in Crossmaglen. Athletic Grounds, Crossmaglen? It is their ground, isn't
it?
That's
the
county grounds. That's the county grounds, yeah. So Athletic Grounds is the Armagh county grounds. So this is Crossmaglen versus Clontibret. Obviously, the big talking point in this one is John McEntee is managing Clontibret. He won 5 All-Irelands and 14 county titles with Crossmaglen. He'll know all about them. Whether he knows enough about them to stop them, it's hard to know. Crossmaglen are 1-3 here. Clontibret are 3-1 outsiders. You can only see Crossmaglen win here. Although Crossmaglen were beaten well by Guido, last year in the semi-final.
And it's hard to relate the John McEntee factor as well. Like, yeah, knowing him inside out, but obviously a good manager. Like, I think we all backed Scotstown to beat Clintibret. Scotstown were going for 5 in a row, so he's done well there.
And they hammered Scotstown, really.
Yeah, and like, yeah, they went 9 up at one stage, I heard. And like, the Gaelic Life, I saw an interview with John McEntee, and he just said, like, my job's to win this match, you know, which is great. Like, we've seen examples of managers taking a step back when they're playing their own club team and stuff, yeah. But he's just going in there to try and put them out.
Yeah. So Oisín O'Neill was interviewed during the week, and so as remember, Stevie O'Neill had talked Oisín O'Neill up so much.
Steve McDonald. Yeah.
Steve McDonald had. And Oisín O'Neill, the game we saw him in, he wasn't good in. And we're like, ah, you're talking nonsense about this Oisín O'Neill. But Oisín O'Neill then got injured this year. So he made his debut last year. Wasn't overly impressive, if we're being honest. Big, huge fella. You know, first year is always difficult. Mm. Like, I mean, it's not many players that young come in and start imposing themselves that much. Rian did it, in fairness. Then he was injured this year. So, like, I mean, he didn't get a chance to show off, but he's really doing it at a club level. Like, I mean, he's their main man. He's plays most of his football, I'm pretty sure, in midfield. But he's talking about Cross McGlen, and we know all this about Cross McGlen. He says, there's no other sport. There's no rugby, soccer. We don't have a swimming pool. We don't have anything else. If you're going to play a sport, you're going to play Gaelic football, and you're going down to the football field. Sure. How does anyone stand a chance? So, like, some of the rival clubs should just go in and build some facilities, like a rugby pitch or something, and try and... But, like, I mean, he was talking then... he was talking and showing a lot of maturity. He was talking about his year with Armagh, and he was talking personally, it was a frustrating season, but I could fully understand why Kieran and Jim McCrory and the rest of the Armagh management didn't probably trust me enough to put me in.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's a nephew of Oisín McConville. They're smart fellas, the two O'Neill brothers.
Yeah, I was actually, I was thinking about this Cross McGlen generation and wondering what their mentality is, because the BBC did a documentary on Cross McGlen before called The Field.
Yeah.
And Oisín McConville was talking about, you know, the British occupation there and how, like, he loved going to training, walking past the army barracks and just saying, fuck you, we're going to win in All-Ireland anyway. And you're like, yeah, this class is ingrained in them. Like, you know, it's almost a two fingers up. That's why they're playing. That's why they're getting so good. But then I was wondering how does that affect the next generation? But Oisín's, like, interview there, it's like, it's not passed down as a British sort of rebellion thing. It's just like, this is all we do here.
Yeah.
You know, and this is what we've always done. And it's just, you go down and play football if you want to have a social life. And that's it's incredible.
Something to do in the village. And I saw Charlie Vernon, who retired from Armagh during the week. He was saying that the two O'Neills and young McConville,
Cian
McConville, are the future for Armagh. So that'll tell you what that full forward. And I remember, like, Jamie Clark's playing in London. They don't even have Jamie Clark. Do you know? So it's amazing. If they had Jamie Clark, maybe Rian could go play more out centre forward, and then they're looking a whole lot more menacing. But sure, Jamie kind of comes and goes with Cross McGlen, I think.
Yeah, I suppose they're used to it now at this stage.
So who are we going for here? Cross McGlen?
I think so. I think it'll be tight, but I'm going to go with Cross McGlen.
Yeah, okay. So the Connacht Club quarterfinals are on as well. So the first one here is Tour of Strain. Sligo plays Pádraig Pearses. Pádraig Pearses, as we know, won their first ever Roscommon title. So it depends how mad they kind of went. Pat Flanagan, who's their manager, former Offaly manager, were expecting a very difficult game. We're coming into the contest with absolutely no experience of playing in the Connacht Club Championship, whereas our opponents have a huge experience to call, and a Tour of Strain have a huge experience, not always good experience. I loved what the All Blacks manager said about the Ireland players, about Ireland being experienced, and he's like, well, in World Cups their experience is not good experience, their experience losing. Yeah. So why are you I would prefer to have no experience than experience of losing.
Yeah,
like, it was perfect sense. Like, experience has to be good experience. Yeah. Or else what's the point of experience? That sometimes experience of older players who are used to losing drag the young fellas who are not like that down. Do you know what I mean? So experience can... You think that these lads are supposed to be leaders. I remember when we came up with Laois Minors, you would almost be dragged down by their experiences of losing rather than be lifted up by their... You get me? Like, it's a weird one.
And they're like, they're not in a headspace where they're going to win the game. They're expecting the worst sort of thing.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. So you nearly need to fight against their experiences as a young player.
Like, you've been around the block a few times, but you got punched every time you went around the block.
But this is the thing. But in fairness to Tour of Strain, the betting's close enough in this. It's 7-4 Tour of Strain, according to Paddy Power. Pádraig Pearses at 8-13. This is based on the fact that Tour of Strain lost to Ballintubber last year only by 6-5. Very defensive game, and they did pretty well against them. And, you know, they play Pádraig Pearses, who obviously would have celebrated a lot the county final. And, you know, you wonder an Ulster club, Connacht club, probably wasn't high in their list of priorities at the start of the year. Tuath Strain would have been thinking, we want to get into the Connacht club, you know, so maybe that there are different mind spaces, but you'd still have to fancy Pádraig Pearse's in this one.
Yeah, I can't go against Hubert D'Arcy ever since he burst onto the scene this year for Roscommon, become one of my favourite players. Yeah,
it's just the name, is it?
Yeah, it's the name, but he's also just a big loaf, like, you know, just so awkward but so talented.
But are you describing yourself a bit awkward? He's a working half forward. Maybe you just see a bit of yourself in
he's
him.
He's a lot more skillful than I am, though, in fairness. So.
All right, so Ballintubber are playing Glencairn Manor Hamilton. Ballintubber 1-8. Glencairn Manor Hamilton are 11-2. Ballintubber have been here and they have done that, and I don't think they've won a Connacht club, but they've been in finals and they've got there, so you'd have to fancy them to win that one.
Yeah, it did look through the Glencairn Manor Hamilton team, though, and like Evan Sweeney was class against Derry for Leitrim at Croke Park, so he stood out straight away. Paddy Maguire, he used to play for St Bridget's in Dublin, and he was playing fullback for Leitrim, I think, but he's real sort of skillful player, and he just marauds up the pitch. And they have like James Glancy, who's like a Leitrim legend, so they have a bit of firepower about them, but I can't see past Ballintubber, unfortunately.
It's hard to look past Ballintubber, yeah. So the Ulster club quarterfinals, Castlerahan versus Naomh Connell. So there's only one winner here. There's no point in saying anything else, is there? Like, Castlerahan, as Cian Mackey told us on the Monday, are not going as crazy as they did last year. They went crazy last year, and they performed very well against the Derry champions. Is it Owen Rua, was it?
Last year.
This year, they're not going crazy. Keane could actually take a call on the show here on the Monday after going around the school. He's a changed man. So if that's anything to read into that, he's saying that they want to actually, you know, do themselves justice. You've Naomh Connell, let's be honest. Like, Jesus, think of what they've come through here. They can't. And I don't think they should. When you look at it and you look at the science of a really difficult battle, another really difficult battle with extra time and a replay, and then another replay. Even if they didn't drink a pint, they don't have a chance physically against a fresh team who are a solid team. Never mind going for a few pints last night. I think they should go for pints today, enjoy the county final, and just go, look, it's not our fault this year. It's just three replays made it impossible for us.
Yeah.
And like, go out on Saturday, try to win the game, but like, don't let that impede your celebrations.
Of course, yeah. It's just really tough for the management team, who you wouldn't have done any analysis, and then, like, you know, they'll try and squash it in now, but then there's no time to work on a game plan, or like barely even talk to the team, and they won't know what game plan will work because they can't do it in training.
Yeah.
So it's they're really, really up against it, obviously physically as well. I'm sure they did celebrate last night, but I sort of like I wonder just how will Castlerahan set up against like Naomh Connell, because I sort of, like, we're talking with Brendan, and it is annoying watching these games, these 8-7 matches, but I almost blame the attacking coaches, like, who are telling them, don't go into that zone because there's too many bodies there. Like, a lot of the bodies are just there in the way.
See, one thing, it is very hard at this time of the year on these pitches. Like, in Croke Park, with a hard ground, you can skip past. Like, this time of the year is really a defender's time of the year. We know that. That was when I was playing in the 90s. It was always a defender's time of the year. Never mind being scrubbed by two players. You can't bring the ball into contact. It's impossible. I can see why they're a little bit cagey, Buck Guidor and Naomh Connell.
You just need to move them around somehow, though. Like, like the Derry final was the same. It was Glenn were just passing around the outside as if they were 7 points up. And I was like, they don't have the ball and they're not scoring, but like, you need to score as well.
Yeah.
And you need to do, like, and again, I know it's easier in Croke Park, but, you know, Dublin, they do engage and they get back out straight away, and, you know, they try to move people around and it works. You have to try and do that.
Yeah.
As tough as it is.
So. Yeah, no, I completely agree. But are you going to go for Castlerahan, or do you think Naomh Connell will probably go extremely defensive, and I wouldn't blame them for it?
Yeah, I actually think they could just drag this into a real dogfight and they'll be in it in the last 10 minutes. I'm nearly going to go with Naomh Connell.
Jesus, okay. Yeah. All right, I'll go for Castlerahan in that one. I won't be getting any brownie points with the Naomh Connell lads. They don't like me
all
anymore
gone
anyways.
Yeah.
It's amazing how personally you take it. Like, I mean, I remember before a Club All-Ireland with Portlaoise, Martin McHugh wrote a piece in The Star, and some of our lads had bet on us to win Leinster when we're still in Leash, and they got a great price on it. They got like maybe 20-1. Now, we wouldn't have been going mad on it or anything like that, but we're in Leash. It was a bet to put 10-20 on it, but by the time we got to the Leinster final, these lads were standing to win, you know what I mean, a few quid, and it got out that we had been betting on ourselves, but we were betting on ourselves harmlessly at the start of the year. We hadn't won a county title in 2 or 3 years, and someone in the panel said, geez, we're a great price to win Leinster. We had new management team, whatever. But anyway, he wrote the morning of the All-Ireland And I read it on the way up in the bus and it really pissed me off that Portlaoise, it's not the type, they're betting on themselves and it's not the type of stuff that you want. If I had got my hands on him, I would have, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Obviously, you get over that pretty quickly. Like, I mean, but anyways, it's amazing. The minute you hear something negative about your club that you're involved in, you're out for them.
Yeah.
You're going to get them. So I better not go up near Glenties for saying that they were terrible.
You hold it. I told you the story before, didn't I, of the article we had in our dressing room wall in Derry. And I had written the article, but I put the other journalist's name on it. It was just a preview for the championship. And it was just loops forward are better than Steelstones. But I put your man's name on it. And then our manager came and saw it. And he put it in the changing room wall. And he's like, that's what he thinks of us. And I was reading it going, that's me who wrote all this. But so I riled the team up.
Geez, that's a great trick. Yeah, you should maybe get a journalist. But like, if you need that stuff. But anyways, we're not going to get into that chat. We want to move on to Kilcoo versus Matterfelt. Kilcoo 8-15 favourites, Matterfelt 2-1. There's another example. I asked Danny Heaveran to come on the show and I just got a no thanks, and then I thought back to me lynching their club about the way they lined up against Slocknail, and again I'd say Danny Heaveran just went F you buddy, you know, maybe maybe I'm reading too much into it. We never even saw that criticism. Maybe some of the players did.
No, I heard some of that criticism.
Did you? That we were criticising. That was Matterfelt. Kilcoo obviously have Mickey Moran as a manager this year, and he will know Matterfelt inside out. We know he's a great club manager, and you'd have to fancy Kilcoo here. You imagine Matterfelt will maybe gone a little bit mad on that. They're 2-1. Would you? What do you think here? You know more about this than me.
Yeah, like they were impressive against Glen. Like, they're pretty defensive. Jared Monaghan was midfield, but he just played the Colin Kavanagh role. He just went back and sat in front of the post, even though what he was there. They played with one inside, but that sort of rotated. Every time Emmett McGuckin went in, he won the ball and scored, but he only did it three times. You know, he was playing out around the middle. The thing that impressed me most about Matterfelt was the way they were set up for kickouts. Like, they completely dominated Glen. I think Glen might have won one of their own kickouts in the first half or something, just swallowed them up. So I don't know exactly what they were doing, just watching from the stands, but it was very impressive. So it'll be interesting to see what they bring to the table for Kilcoo. Obviously, Adrian Cush, who we have criticised, is well tuned in that sort of field when he's looking at kickouts and stuff. So it'll be interesting, but I have to fancy Kilcoo, and like, I can't bet against Mickey Moran.
Yeah, I hate to talk up defensive systems, but at this time of the year, if you're an outsider and you want to bring the game into the last 10 minutes, do you know, it is that kind of mucky owl weather where it you probably do get a little bit of joy out of it. I feel dirty after saying that. All right, I'll go for Kilcoo there. You're going to go for Matterfelt as a local bit of bias?
I might go with Kilcoo. I'm very happy that I back Matterfelt, the underdogs, in the Derry final, but I'm going to go with Kilcoo just to shade it.
Okay, Derry Gonnelly, who beat Carrigan. I got that one right, Conan. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
Like to point that one out. They play Trillick. They're not going to win this one. They're 10-3 outsiders, and Trillick are 2-7. We know who Trillick have. They've the Donnellys, they've Rory Brennan, Lee Brennan. They're not brothers, are they, Rory and Lee Brennan?
Yeah.
They are brothers as well. All right, okay. I didn't know that. So Ryan Jones from Derry Gonnelly is pretty much calling a spade. He says, we're delighted to get over Carrigan, but let's call a spade here. Trillick are going to be a serious step up for us, because at the end of the day, there's great experience ingrained in their team. And he talked about their experience of All-Ireland finals and different stuff. Four players at that level is a lot. And we know Trillick have more to their bow than just the four lads. And maybe, again, I keep kind of coming back to this analysis. Their first county title in a long time is one thing. Now they want to maybe push on and do well in the Ulster Championship, so I'm going for Trillick here.
Yeah, if you look at it, Donegal, Derry, Tyrone, Down and Monaghan, they all have new champions this year,
right?
So
yeah,
Ulster is wide open.
Yeah, wide open.
Trillick might be sensing that, so.
And then the big bad wolf Cross McGlenn is still in there.
No. But, Trillick for me. Yep.
Okay, so the Galway final replay, Corrifin, Toom Stars. Corrifin are 1-7, so the betting hasn't changed from the first one. Toom Stars are 5-1. I nearly got this prediction right too, Conan. I was singing this one.
That was great.
The Corrifin needed two late points in injury time. Gary Sice to draw this one up. Thought Toom Stars might been able to cause a shock. Probably won't in the replay now, because, you know, Corrifin will probably learn a lot more from it, and the favourites usually win replays. But Tommy Carton,
what happened to all the stuff you were saying? Tommy Carton, the last time they won it,
The element of surprise is gone now. You see, Corrifin are well wise to them now. I thought that on that day and the tradition and all, I still think all that tradition will still work, but the element of hitting Corrifin kind of when they're maybe, I don't know, not tuned in. There's no better way to tune in the favourites than to rattle them like that, maybe.
I wrote these two teams down, and the only thing I wrote underneath was Tommy Carton. So I'm like, you know, colours like up to the wall. I'm going with Tume Stars.
We're both swapping over then. Yeah. Oh God, almighty.
You've convinced me too late.
All right, okay. The Dublin final, Ballyboden St Enda's versus Thomas Davis. We've talked a bit about Thomas Davis. Hard to look past the Ballyboden win here. Even Ballyboden aren't a club team to kind of blow me away or anything. Like, the Basquels are flying it. Conal Keeney missed the last one. He injured himself in the quarter final. But I don't know. They're a very good, hard working club team, rather than the kind of incredibly talented team that maybe some of the others are. Would that be fair?
Yeah. Did you see Colin Basquels go in the semi final? The way they turned it over, though, there was like six lads chasing two players, and they eventually got. That's what they do in that middle zone. They're all huge and they're all just manic.
Yeah.
And like, they just press you, and teams just get terrified and panic. That's sort of the most impressive thing about them. And then obviously the Basquels, I just wonder if they were from any other county outside Dublin, would they be, like, you know, starring for those other counties the way they're going?
They would, yeah. Colin would anyway.
Yeah, I think Colin definitely would. I think there's a bit of Mayo in them as well, like, you know, so
yeah,
a bit of a shame Mayo weren't doing it.
Well, that's it. I think we mentioned that before, but look, listen, you could do a show on Dublin players that would make any other county team, because there's loads of them. Or Kerry. Sure, look at Conor Cox. Like, I mean... Mm. The reality is, he wasn't a big player down in Kerry, and you go to another county and now you become the main man, and these lads are incredibly talented.
Yeah.
You know, so they absolutely would. The Tipperary final, we've talked about that with Shane McGrath. Then we have some Leinster Club quarterfinals. Nothing major in this. They look like two one-sided games. Clonkill are 1-10 against Ballyhale Shamrocks, and St Mullins are 9-2 outsiders. Coolar are 1-6 favourites. So the great thing about the Leinster Club hurling is that Ballyhale Shamrocks and Coola are separated until the Leinster final, yeah. That's just going to be a heavyweight clash that I'm going to go to watch it, because it's just too brilliant. These are super clubs. Ballyhale, all of a sudden, the Pearson and Coola were the two super clubs. Ballyhale have moved into that super club at the moment, level with Coola. That's going to be brilliant. I saw a classic line with Sean Moran. He's talking about St Mullins. And St Mullins, obviously a great club, beat Mount Leinster Rangers, and they have Marty Kavanagh. And he was saying, I remember playing St Mullins down in Carlow 3 years ago. It stands out because it was a foggy day. We had a really tough game against them and we were fortunate to get through. And I was thinking to myself, geez, I don't remember St Mullins putting it up to Coola. And I went back into the 2016 Leinster Club Hurling Final. They beat them 119-17. Like, you think with Sean Moore, straight out of the Jim Gavin School of let's talk up the opposition. I couldn't believe it. So I looked at this points. I looked at this on Wikipedia and I went, that has to be, that can't be right. It must have been 119-170.
Yeah.
And so I went looking for reports. It was 119-17. And Sean Moore says, we're lucky to get through that.
God's sake.
So yeah, so look, we'll fancy the two favourites in that one. Then we've Rat Downey Earl against St Rhinas. That's probably I think it's a closer game than 2-1, 1-2. The Offaly champions aren't what they used to be. I'll go for a Rat Downey Earl in this one, in a Moore Park home advantage. But like, I mean, you know, Rhinas are rightly favourites, but I don't think 1-2 favourites.
Yeah, well, just back to favourites, I'm going to go with Rhinas.
Okay, right. Munster Club hurling quarterfinal, 6 Mile Bridge then versus Ballygunner. 6 Mile Bridge, 6-4 outsiders. Ballygunner, 4-6. We know Ballygunner are defending champions. They were the nearly men for a good few years before that. 6 Mile Bridge have won it 3 times and lost the final in 2013. Desi Hutchinson obviously is adding an extra element to the Ballygunner attack. He's back from playing soccer in England. We're going to talk to him on the show pretty soon. I'm going to go for a shock in this one. 6 Mile Bridge home win.
Yeah, like I was sort of thinking about the momentum that they have coming into it as well, but Ballygunner, I just think use these analogies a lot anyway, but I think they're just thinking about the Munster Championship from the off, so I'm going to go with them.
Yeah, okay, right, well that's it. That's always time for, we'll be back on Monday, definitely doing a show this Monday, don't worry about that, and we'll talk to you then. Good luck.
The GA Hour is sponsored by Paddy Power, home of the GA Hour Hurling ACCA.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop, and when I got the chance to go, I said I should go, and so it opened up.
We're only the small little fish out there, so we are in there. We're trying hard to make it through, but it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know, and it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.